Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. I'm alive to love. I'm the No BS Bishop. I believe love is the highest and only value of life that keeps us away from BS, which is bait and switch. Or perhaps you think of it in other ways, but bait and switch is, for my purposes, the workable definition, and we need to understand there's not a higher value in life than love. And without love, we devalue ourselves, we devalue others, our communication breaks down, and we end up in BS. You guessed it. So thanks for being here today. It's a pleasure to be with you again. I'm very proud of this radio broadcast project, I call it. It's my joy to do this. It's also an honor to know that you trust me with about a half an hour of your life. That's phenomenal. I'm touched by that. I truly and genuinely am. So thanks for being here. Here at the No BS Bishop, Alive to Love, we do a couple of things routinely so that we keep Randy between the white lines of the highway, right? So I can stay straightforward and keep it going right. And in order to do it well, I do a creed that I've written, a creed that has been a New Year's resolution for me as well. So we'll do that in just a moment. And at the end, we have a couple of other practices. So brace yourself. Suck it up, buttercup. Here we come. It'll get a little weird maybe for some of you because I'll ask you to make eye contact with people and say, I love you. But anyway, I'm ahead of myself already. But here we do, at the beginning, the Love's Creed. So since this is a broadcast and a project of love, and it's about the exploration and the pilgrimage of love, I think it's important to have some solid foundation under us to say what we're after here. Love is not a sprint. It's a marathon. So because of that, we need to sustain our purposes in love through things like a creed. So let me read this creed to you in total. I'll come back and I'll give it to you in portions like a marriage officiant would do at a marriage altar for the bride and groom. I'll say repeat after me, okay? But first, here it is in total. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. When I read that and I hear myself say it, I just don't get tired of it. And it's not just because I wrote it and I'm very proud of it, but I believe it. I hold it dear. I said to somebody the other day, love is my meditation and prayer. It's the means by which I meditate on life. It's the means by which I pray. Do I do it with perfection? Hey, not this guy. I got blood in my veins. I'm not a robot. But as a human, I've got to sustain some aim for a target that is it's bigger than me, and love is bigger than me, and I want to reach for it. I want to do it as well as I can. So here we go. Love's Creed. I'll get you to repeat after me in portions. All right, here we go. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. So there you have it, Love's Creed. If you'd like a copy of that, I think it'd be good to keep on your mirror in your bathroom so when you're brushing your teeth or shaving or combing your hair, you can see it. A 3x5 card for your sun visor in your car or in your phone, your device, so you can occasionally see this and repeat it out loud for yourself. What we hear our voice say matters down inside of us on a level that I'm not entirely sure I can explain, but I know if I say something out loud, I'm committed to it on some level. So if you want that copy of Love's Creed, write me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. Randy Dean Ministries is all one word, lowercase, @gmail.com. Be happy to send you a copy. Well, I'm on a series here on the communication of love. It's high on my priorities, and I'm going to try to go through some material that I've developed for a 12-step recovery group retreat that I'm a part of, spiritual program retreat, a group of people I'm very proud to call myself the spiritual director of. But the spiritual program retreat is also holding a family program retreat coming up in October. And in that retreat, I'm doing a session on communication and boundaries. So out of that material that I've developed, I've got something more to share with you here about the communication of love. I've been telling you here for the past few weeks that the most basic of all of our human connections is communication. It's how we connect with people is what we communicate. You know, at best, we can be eloquent and poetic and inspiring at our best, at our worst, right? And we're often, too often there. We fumble, bumble, open our mouths, and then we insert our foot. But in that spectrum, we're connecting. Yeah, I mean, even when we fumble and bumble and put our foot in our mouth, we're connecting. But hopefully we're more eloquent, poetic, and inspiring than we are putting our foot in our mouth. So here's four basic layers of communication that we use. All of us use this. I'll talk about the first one in a minute, and I'm doing it in a studio all by myself. And first method of communication is body language. I'm gesturing with my hands. There's nobody here to see me, but my hands are connected to my voice. And we all do that when we're communicating. We fold our arms as if to resist people. We open ourselves up to people, or we push back in distance, proximity, you know, if I'm close to you or I'm turning away while we're trying to communicate. Body language is a communication. Number two, facial expressions, which is similar to body language. So we can roll our eyes, we can grimace, we smile, we cry, we frown. All of those are a communication. And the written word, you know, I used to say a lot, I haven't said it much lately, but I can read your letter, but I can't read your mind. So when you have something really important to say, write it out, put it in a letter or an email. And in a moment, I'll talk about that too, texting or emails, but the written word. And then the fourth means of communication, drum roll, please, is actually speaking like I am right now. You know, Mom used to say, use your words, honey. You know, when rather than groaning or moaning or crying or throwing a fit, Mom would say, use your words. And that's important. So, you know, body language, facial expressions, written word, and actually talking. This is how we communicate love. And all of these are potential communications of love. I found the statistic. I can't validate the veracity of it, but it sounds logical to me. Sadly, effective communication is 7% words, 38% voice and tone, and 55% body language. Did you catch that? 7% just are words, but 38% is voice and tone, 55% is body language. So when you see that, if you do the math quick, 93% of our communication is nonverbal. It's well, voice and tone is verbal, and yet the way our voice goes on, you know, we can be lilting or pedantic, or we can be yelling or soft or whatever, but that, you know, it's not so much just the words, but again, 93% of communicating is other than just our words. So we have to pay close attention to that, right? By the way, I mentioned a minute ago that, you know, if we're writing something by a text or email, we need to remember that texting, emailing, and social media is jumping over 93% of effective communication. A counselor friend of mine says, you know, when you text a mean text, you don't have to look in the face of a hurt person who reads that ugly text. You don't see the hurt in their eye. You don't see the disappointment. So it's easy to just rage text at somebody. It's easy to say something mean-spirited to somebody because you don't have to look at the hurt you're causing. So remember that when you're even emailing or even a handwritten note. Remember, that handwritten note is it's causing a response, and that response can be pain. So imagine that you're looking at somebody, whether you're texting, emailing, or just handwriting a letter to somebody or typing a letter. So when we are communicating love, 7% is words, but it's also 38% of our tone, our voice, and 55% body language. That's why I say here, when we close, I want you to make eye contact. I want you to find somebody, make eye contact, slow your words down, and say, I love you. So remember, all of our communications are at some point, they're vulnerable. But in our communications, when they're vulnerable, boy, I tell you, they're even more vulnerable if addiction enters our space or other matters. You know, whether it's the recent loss of a loved one, a deep sadness, a profound disappointment, our communications are all affected that way. So when it comes to communicating love on the receiving or giving end, remember, communications are a vulnerable place to live, and it's part of where we have to live before we can actually really connect with people. In the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, step 4 is we've made a searching and fearless moral inventory. So, and then step 5 says, then we admitted, or we communicated to God, ourselves, and another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. So to that end, we're all communicating with ourself and with others. I'm doing a searching and fearless moral inventory, but I'm also admitting to God. Here's what I found in my moral inventory that I'm disappointed with me. But remember, self-love, love your neighbor as yourself is what Jesus taught us. Self-love will prevent you from becoming overbearing with yourself. So when we do a searching and fearless moral inventory, we just be careful with that, not to dodge reality, but don't become brutal with yourself over time or over any length of time. Actually, just get the truth into your own ears, into your own heart, but don't beat yourself up. So remember that. Remember in your communication of love that it's important to sustain a good moral inventory. So recognizing that my love communications have perhaps been faulty, and I want to improve them. And admit to God, hey, God, in fact, one of the things that my wife and I do every Sunday with a church that we attend online is that we admit, God, we haven't loved you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we haven't loved our neighbor as ourselves. We confess this to you, and we pray, Lord, have mercy on us. That's love is at the core of any of our sins in life, right? If I'm not loving, be honest. Do a moral inventory and recognize there's room for growth and change. So also in all of my conversation here today and communicating love, love does know how to make boundaries with people. It's true. You can keep boundaries. And in fact, if you're going to keep your communication of love strong, you're going to have boundaries. Because to the degree your boundaries are faltering, your communication's under assault and vice versa. And if I can't communicate clearly because of boundaries that are protecting my communication well, something's going to get sideways with other people. Have you ever heard the phrase, good fences make good neighbors? Well, I've always heard that and assumed it meant, hey, if I want to have a good neighbor, I got to have a good solid fence between me and my neighbor. But the truth is that phrase comes from a 1914 Robert Frost poem called Mending the Wall. I don't have time to read it all here now. I've got it in front of me. But Mending Wall, the Mending Wall, it's absolutely beautiful. It's stunning. What the poem is about is his neighbor says, well, good fences make good neighbors. And, you know, he's agreeing with his neighbor. And yet in the poem, he and his neighbor annually have to go out and examine their rock and boulder fence. Now, this is back in the early 1900s. And so their fence wasn't a, you know, this beautiful, you know, straight up and down wooden or metal fence, but it was built with rocks, a boundary around their properties. But over time, because of the heaving of frost in the ground or cattle or wild animals knocking the rocks around, they had to walk up and down this wall together and agree which rock needed to be moved which way. So to that end, every year they had this annual appointment with each other where they walked, I suppose, a few miles up and down this rock boundary. And it became an annual trek in an exercise of give and take, quid pro quo, and good memories. They were able to look at each other and laugh over stuff and say, I tell you what, that rock can go over there. I don't mind if you get another square foot of property. And it became, again, good fences make good neighbors is an ironic statement here. It's by virtue of creating a good fence, we're communicating. Love becomes a part of our relationship. So it's not just the legalities of where my property line is. It's about love and how we've talked to each other over the years. Building good fences make good neighbors because it builds love is what I would say. So remember, boundaries are essential in good communication, especially with love. But also, let's tag this in there. Boundaries are not ultimatums. In other words, you know, if I say to you, if you don't stop smoking, I'm not going to let you drive my car anymore. Well, that's an ultimatum. That's a threat. A boundary is not threats. It's not control or demands. If you don't get help, I'm taking everything, all your money and your reputation. I'll just splash into the streets and everybody's going to know what a jerk you are. Well, that's not a boundary. That's control, threats, and demands. And based on that, a boundary is not a punishment-based statement. You know, if you do that again, I'm going to do something you'll regret. That's not a boundary. A boundary is about three things. My needs, like the smoking in my car. I could say, I don't allow smoking in my car. That's talking about my needs. Boundaries are about my limits. I don't want to live with active addictions in my life. So that's about me. It's not about you. And if you have active addictions, well, okay. If you're going to relate to me, you got to know what my limits are. And the third characteristic of a boundary is about my loves and my desires. So I could say, you know, I have a lot of life to live, and I want to live with a minimum amount of drama and despair and a maximum amount of hopes and dreams. See, that's a good, healthy boundary. That's a means by which, through love, you can say, hey, I'm not pushing you away. However, in my life, I've got a lot of life to live, and I want to live it with a minimum amount of drama and despair. I want to live it with a maximum amount of love and hope. So if I'm building good boundaries and I'm walking that fence along with my neighbor, I'm talking about what my needs are, my limits, my loves and desires. So we communicate love by communicating healthy boundaries. I hope you get what I'm saying. I'm kind of going through this a little fast, but I don't want you to miss how when we love people, we can keep boundaries. In fact, it's essential to have boundaries when we are determined to be a loving human being, to be loving in the context of our desire for life to be about love and not about drama, not about BS, not about just trying to cover up pain, but I want my life to be about love. And so in that context, if I'm living my life for the sake of love, like I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. Well, then I have to communicate well. What are my needs? What are my limits? And what are my desires for this life? And in that context, my wife and I have had the joy of being foster parents. We had a young lad in our life many years ago who came to us in his teen years. This young lad's name was Tom. And to that end, Tom was a hurting unit. He had a lot of broken pieces in his life from his family of origin. He had been in the social services network his whole life, and he'd been lost in the system. Well, we got him with minimal skills of relating to parents. Well, here we got a teenager, right? This is a 17, 16-year-old teenager. And this teenager hadn't had many people say, with kindness and love, no. And so if life is the school of hard knocks, Ginger and I got a PhD in that period of time when we had Tom. Well, I'll tell you just one story about Tom, and that was that we said to him one time, we said, look, we want you to go to school, but you know, I got to go to work, and Ginger's got to go to work, and we're both otherwise occupied, and you're going to have to get yourself up and ready to leave for school, get on the bus, and go to school without us. So, you know, just a little before, I think it was 7:30 there at the time. Well, as you can imagine, he was not always ready, and he regularly missed the bus, and you know, all kinds of brokenness ensued because of it. Well, during that time when he was missing the bus and hanging around the house alone for just a few moments, he was using our phone, and that was in the day of long-distance charges. Well, we got our phone bill, and wow, our long-distance charges were astronomical. So we had to find a way to communicate with love. Tom, we've asked you to do this and this to get ready for school, but instead you've been on the phone running up our phone bill. And we said, so how are you going to pay this phone bill? Oh, no, what will you do? We've talked about that here before. And he looked at us with a blank look and didn't know how. Well, we said, here's how we're going to pay your phone bill. And we set up a system by which he could build sandwiches for his lunch at school and, you know, take a few little side things like a small bag of chips. But we weren't going to give him money for his school lunch. He would have to make his own sandwich and take it to school with him. So, oh my gosh, you would have thought we said, look, you're going to have to climb Mount Everest every day for us in order to pay this phone bill. Long story, very short here, is that finally we negotiated that, and finally we negotiated that phone bill down. Oh my, it was so hard. I'm making that short and simple. But that was our means of trying to find a loving way to communicate. There are boundaries here. You got to go to school. You're going to have to get yourself ready and get on the bus. And hanging on our phone and driving up our long distance bill is not that. And so we weren't mean. We weren't harsh. We were simple and direct. We built a boundary and we communicated our love. And we said, Tom, no matter what comes in your life, you're going to remember that Randy and Ginger Dean loved you. Well, we've been in contact with him as an adult, and he has told us. He still calls us Mom and Dad in the very few times we've connected with him. And he says, I love you, and I know you loved me. Well, I'm out of time, but I just want to remind you that communicating love requires us to be centered and focused. So to that end, to be as focused as you can, I want you to practice good breathing with me. On the count of three, put your feet flat on the floor, set up as straight as you can, or maybe stand up. And on the count of three, take the deepest breath you can. All right, here we go. One, two, three. Inhale. And exhale. Practicing good breathing will keep you focused enough to love well. Love yourself well and love people around you in a way that is meaningful and powerful. And speaking of meaningful and powerful ways to communicate love, how about saying, I love you? Oh, yeah, it's startling, especially if you say it in that kind of determined, specific way, and especially if you make eye contact. Oh no, what will we do? Well, it's awkward. It's a little weird, but it's worth the practice. I want you to find somebody, maybe right now, but somewhere, somebody, make eye contact. Slow those three holy, charmed, magical, powerful words down. Slow them down and say, I love you. The first few times you do it, and maybe for several times you do it, you'll stumble all over yourself, and I have, and I know many who do. But just practice this communication. I love you. And remember that your body language, your facial expressions are more than half of your communication, especially when you say, I love you. You can't see me and you can't look me in the eye, and there's no other way for me to give this to you except by saying these words before we leave. I love you. If you haven't heard that in days, weeks, months, oh, and God forbid, much longer, I want you to hear it from me as a life-saving outreach to you. I love you. Now, I want you to rise and shine in your day. Get up and do something beautiful, because ugly? Ugh. Ugly is getting done to death, folks. It's really a great time in our history and in our world right now to be people of beauty, people of significant, intentional, good things. To say I love you sometimes to a complete stranger and just walk on it and then try to imagine behind you what they must be thinking. Or just to be polite, to show kindness in small ways, or to pay somebody's bill at the gas station or the grocery store or the coffee shop. To rise and shine to the beauty of human love communicated well. I'm telling you, folks, it changes the world, not all in one fell swoop, but minute by minute, baby step by baby step, all of us can change the world with love. Thanks for being here today. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. I'm alive to love. I will not live for lesser values than love, because I'm alive to love. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.